Okay, page 22 on the top, 28 at the bottom. We're going to start from the second line. Dr. Rebbe is explaining the definition of evil as anything which is not Kedusha. Anything which is not Kedusha is automatically evil. Now, Dr. Rebbe said, though, there's two levels of evil. There's what's called Shalosh Klipot Tameis, which is complete level of evil. There's no good. You cannot elevate it. No matter what you do with it, you're not going to be able to elevate it. Then there's a level called Klipot Noiga. Klipot Noiga, Dr. Rebbe is in the middle of explaining over here. That's all the kosher food. It's klipa, it's not l'shem shemayim, but there's shined within it a little bit of good, and therefore it's permissible because it could be elevated to kedusha. Okay, we're going to see this now inside. Akel kashel akel, second line. All of this, all these things that he mentioned, which are klipas nega, nishpa v'nimshach, gets his sustenance, and drum madrega shenishe beklipa v'sitra achra, from the second level of evil, which is called klipa revias, the fourth klipa, because the Shalosh Klipot Tameis is one category. Hanikras Klipot Nega, which is called Klipot Nega, Sheba Elam Hazeh, which is in this world, which is called Elam Ha'asiya, the world of action, the lowest of the four worlds. Rubei Kukulera, which is primarily, almost completely evil. Rak Ma'at Tev Ma'udav Besecha, there's only a little bit of good within it. As we learned the other weeks, the word Nega means, as we say in Kel Odin, Malayim Ziv Umafikim Noiga. Noiga means a shine. So what is the definition of Klipas Noiga? It's evil, it's bad, it's Sitra Achra, but it shines within it a little bit of Kedusha. That Kedusha is not bound to the evil, but that's basically all the things that are in this world which are not forbidden. Anything in the world which is not forbidden is evil, it's Klipas Nega. And he said, because of the little bit of good which is within it, Shemimeno bois midas tevish shebenefesh abame shebeyisrael. In the first paragraph, Alter Rebbe explained that the animal soul of a Jew comes from Klipas Nega. And Alter Rebbe explained in the first paragraph that all good midas come from the good that's in the evil of the nefesh abamis. And all the bad midas come, like he says, anger and haughtiness and laziness and sadness and mockery and joking and all that. So, because the nefesh habamis of a Jew is klipas noiga, it shines within a little bit of good. That level of good is the source of the natural, instinctive midas, good midas that a Jew has. Like the Gemara says, by nature Jews are rachmanim, baishanim, gemle chasadim. They're merciful, they're generous, they have people that have a little bit of shame to them. That comes from the Klipas Noiga, from the Tev of the Klipas Noiga. So he says now, Vihi Bechines Mamutzas, that's the level of intermediary, Bein Sholosh Klipas HaTmeis Lagamri, between the complete level of evil, Ubein Bechines Madregis HaKadusha, and between the level of Kedusha. Meaning, we have the two extremes. One extreme is Kedusha. One extreme is Shalosh Klipot HaTmeis. In between the two is Klipas Noiga. What does it mean? It's a Mamutze, the intermediary. Dalt Rebbe explains. Lachain, pa'amim shinechlelis b'Shalosh Klipot HaTmeis. Sometimes it's lowered into complete evil. U'pa'amim shinechlelis v'eila b'chinus madregas HaKedusha. And sometimes it becomes elevated to Kedusha. Meaning, like we learned, Klipas Noiga is only stays Klipas Noiga until a Jew touches it. The second the Jew touches it, it either goes down into Shalosh Klipot HaTmeis, or it becomes elevated to Kedusha. And now the Rebbe is going to say on the next line, what does it mean it becomes elevated to Kedusha? You don't elevate Klipas Noiga to Kedusha. You elevate the good that's in Klipas Noiga, that ray of good that shines within it, which is not bound to the Tumah, that is able to be elevated when a Jew utilizes it, L'shem Shemayim. And Dr. Rebbe, I'll explain more in a second. The Hainu, which means, what does it mean? It goes to Kedusha. K'shahatev ha-me'udav ba, the good which is mixed into klipas nega, nizbar mehara, becomes refined from the evil. The geiver ve'elav and nichul b'kedusha becomes elevated to kedusha. So that Rebbe is saying clearly, it's not klipas nega elevated to kedusha. The good which shines into klipas nega becomes separated from the evil, and that good becomes elevated to kedusha. And that's why we know the aveda of the Jew in this world is called aveda sabirurim, the refining of selection. What does it mean, birurim? Birurim means to separate the good from the bad.
What happens to the bad?
It falls away and basically like dies. Because it doesn't have any more kedusha to keep it vibrant. But the kedusha becomes elevated to kedusha. I mean, the good becomes elevated to kedusha, not the evil. What?
When we talk about klipas nega, we always talk about gashmius objects. Could we also refer to klipas nega things like time or talents or things like that, things that are not tangible, but they can also be used in
the world? The nefesh habamis of a Jew comes from klipas nega.
But I know, but it's expressed with gashmius. When you say klipas nega, you're talking about anything that could be used either way, right? You can take an hour, schlep it down, and pick it up, right? So that also goes under klipas nega, right?
Yeah.
Strength or an ability.
Right. Because the Alter Rebbe before, at the end of Perek Vav, we speak about the chayis of kol bechol asasur, the chayis. No, he's talking about the chayis of it. Correct. Time is also physical.
I meant tangible.
Time is very tangible.
How is time tangible?
What you do with it. What is time?
What is tangible?
Time, zman and mokim, time and place, are interchangeable. They're both interconnected. Right?
That's a theory of relativity.
Thank you, Mrs. Einstein. There's the famous question, this is discussed already in this class and other classes. There's a famous question of the philosophers. Mizritchim Magid asked the question, the Alter Rebbe brings it down. Why did David to create the world when he did, when he created a million years earlier? There's a question Mekubalim asked. Why did Hashem create the world 5,768 years ago? Hashem could have created the world 5 billion years ago and everybody would be happy. Scientists would be happy, Torah would be happy, everything would be happy. So the Mekubalim answer, an answer that has to be understood, but the Mekubalim say like this, Hashem had to do one tzimtzum and another tzimtzum and another tzimtzum, everything. It took so much time, by the time he finished, the world was created 5,768 years ago. So the Maggid asks on that, the obvious question, so Hashem could have started that earlier. Right? Hashem could have started that earlier. So then, the world could also still be created a billion years ago. So the Maggid says, the Tirito Amiti, the real answer is, the definition of time is how long something exists. If there's no something, there is no time. You can't ask a question, why didn't Hashem create the world earlier? Before world, there is no time. Right? In fact, you know the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, a lot of mothers know, it says in the myth, Zman Amokim Zayin Beidam Chodoshim, Nivroim, they're both created, time and place. So time is tangible. Not tangible in our different types of measurements. But like we learned, how do you measure depth of an ocean? How many feet deep it is? Right? How do you measure the depth of a pit? How many feet deep it is? Right? When somebody has a very deep head, what do you mean? It's 10 feet deep? 20 feet deep? Or if you say somebody who's very generous, you say they have a very big heart. What do you mean? It's big? If it's very big, they wouldn't be able to live. It's expressions that we use in a different way. The Alter Rebbe, even Tanya later says, Koshame Yitzchakli. If somebody's going to say you measure a depth of a head of seichel with inches or whatever with measurements, people are going to laugh at it. But it's still tangible. Time and place are both tangible. Not only are they both tangible, time and place are interconnected because time only exists when place exists. That's why Zman and Mokim are always put together. So if you're talking about just like Mokim is measured, but you can't measure time by knocking on it, but time is measured in its own measurements, which are tangible. So time is also Klipas Noiga. You can elevate it to Kedusha, or you can lower it to Klipa, depending what you do with it. So it's not only, usually we speak about physical, but time is also a physical phenomenon. Time is not spiritual. There is Ruchniyistik of time, just like there's Ruchniyistik of place. As it says in the Bar Mitzvah Maimir, when it says, Alpayim Shana Kodma Torah Le'elam, that when the Gemara says that Torah is 2,000 years before the world, so he says in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, it's not Kedima Bizman, because there was no Zman before. He can't say Torah is 2,000 years before the world, literally 2,000 years. There was no time before the world. What it means is 2,000 levels. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Yisrei HaTorah that when somebody speaks about angels, yeah, there's one passage that says, Serafim ein de mimalei. The Serafim stand above them. There's Eitanim and Chais HaKedesh, and the Serafim stand above them. The Rambam says it doesn't mean that they're on a higher step. You know, one Malach is on the 10th step and one's on the 5th step. When you speak about higher and lower in Ruchnius, it means, or you say before or after in Ruchnius, it means greater and lower. But in our understanding, it's before and after. It's earlier and later. It's higher and lower. But it means a person, something that has a greater understanding of Elokus is higher than something that has a lesser understanding of godliness. But nobody's going to say, when we say, this building is higher than that building, it means it's taller. It's more floors. We also use the word higher, but it's a different measurement. When you say somebody has a deep head, it doesn't mean it's 10 feet deep. Or big heart, or whatever it may be. Okay, so now the Rebbe explains like this. The hainu k'shatev ha-ma'odiv ba. Minizbare me'arab becomes refined from the bad, v'gayver v'eila v'nichu b'kedusha. And it becomes included into kedusha. K'gayin. The Gemara derech marshal, like in an example. If somebody eats juicy, this is literally what it means, juicy fat ox meat. And he drinks spiced wine. But they're drinking it to broaden their mind, to be able to learn and understand godliness better. Says, wine and good smell make a person smarter. Or he does it b'shvil kedei l'kayim mitzvahs einik Shabbos v'yomtiv. Or a person eats in order to do the mitzvah of Shabbos and Yomtiv. It says you have to enjoy Shabbos and Yomtiv. They're eating l'shem shemayim. What happens then? As I nizbarer chayis habosav ayayin, it becomes refined and separated. The chayis, the life of the meat and the wine, which was nishba meklipas noiga, that until now was from klipas noiga. The Eilu Hashem, it becomes elevated to Hashem, to Eilu Kekarbon, like an Eilu and a carbon. And the Rebbe explains over here, what does the Alter Rebbe mean by this? That it becomes elevated to the ultimate level of Kedusha, which is a carbon, and especially carbon Eilu, which is called Kedush Kedushim, the Holy of all the Holiest. In other words, the Alter Rebbe is saying a phenomenal concept. That a person can eat food, L'Shem Shemayim, the proper way, that is actually bringing, it has the same Kedusha, the same holiness, as the holiest of all the sacrifices. Because they're elevating it to Kedusha. Now, At the same time, everybody knows there's the famous story, the Baal Shem Tov showed his students an ox with a shtreimel, you know, the fur hats they wear, and the Baal Shem Tov explained to his students, how do you get an ox with a shtreimel? So Baal Shem Tov said, there was a certain chassid who wore a shtreimel, and he was so overly indulged in his eating of the meat on Shabbos. So the Baal Shem Tov said, where you want to be is where you are. So the person was so overly indulged in the meat that he became an ox. But bigger than Shabbos, the Shabbos clothing don't change, so it was an ox wearing a shtreimel.
Wait, he like transformed to an ox or did he go into an ox?
No. In a spiritual sense, he was in that. Baal Shem Tov saw the spiritual vision. He didn't all of a sudden get four legs and.
Okay.
No. In a spiritual sense, the person was an ox wearing a shtreimel. So that Alter Rebbe is also not talking about.
Like a pizza wearing a skirt.
Yeah, right. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining that a person who, and this is what unique knows about Klipas Naiga. Klipas Naiga has an ability to be elevated to the ultimate highest level of Kedusha. That's why a table is a Mizbeach, because we elevate the food and everything that a Jew does. Or, the Alter Rebbe says another thing. V'chein ha'emer milse b'dichus, a person who says a joke. The fakir daiti, to open up his mind, and to be in a better mood, so to speak, to be able to learn Torah better. That you have to be besimcha, and he calls like Rava. The Gemara says before Rava started learning with his students, what did he do? He said a joke, and Rabbanan laughed, and then the Gemara says he sat down with awe and fear and started learning Torah properly. So, in other words, what he's saying over here, if it's a kosher joke, a clean joke, otherwise it's shoshu satzmeis, but if it's a joke that a person is doing, even though l'cheira, a joke is not kedusha, but if he's doing it in order to be able to learn and to daven, so that itself is elevating it all to kedusha. And this... Well, as I told the men, there's a difference if you live to eat or you eat to live. There are many people that live to eat. That is not elevating the food to Kedusha in any way whatsoever. That's the next thing that the Rebbe says. The fresser and the guzzler. That's what he says. It's called a fresser and a guzzler in English.
If you know you're a fresser, maybe not a guzzler, but if you know you're a fresser...
We're
you...
not there yet. One second.
All right.
I'm explaining now the positive aspect of it.
Yes. No,
so the person utilizes the food or the joke or whatever it is to serve Hashem, they elevate it as much as a carbon. Now this could be understood. There's a very famous Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, who is the richest man in his time together with Antoninus, that the Gemara said they lacked nothing at all, not winter, not summer. They were the wealthiest two people in the world at that time. Rabbi Yehuda Anossi on his deathbed picked up his hand, his finger, and he made a shvua on his deathbed. Rabbi Yehuda Anossi made a vow, I didn't enjoy this world even a small finger's worth. Okay? So the Mefarshim asked a very practical question. The guy was rich, he had servants, he had a beautiful house, he had everything he possibly could want. Yeah? What does it mean? And Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, swearing on his deathbed, so there's no games. He's not joking. Okay? He swears, the question is, he enjoyed life. He had servants and everything he wanted he had. So explanation is what Alter Rebbe is explaining over here. Rabbi Yehuda Anossi's entire benefit of everything that he has was utilized only to serve Hashem better. There was no personal gratification, there was no personal enjoyment. Every enjoyment that he had, he utilized for the sake of serving Hashem. And therefore he said, I swear I didn't personally, for my own fressing and guzzling, so to speak, he didn't benefit at all from this world. But that doesn't mean he didn't have the luxuries of life. He did have them. But everything, the Gemara says, Isha na, Dira na, Kalim noim. The Gemara says a beautiful wife, beautiful home, beautiful appliances, broaden the mind of a person. So that's what he's saying, that he personally did not enjoy on a personal level this world. It was only for the sake of serving Hashem. Then he elevates it to the ultimate level of Kedusha.
You have to, like, on a practical level, you have, when you eat, you have to come, Ramesh sings, this is what I'm doing. I mean, how many people do that? I mean, you eat, you're hungry, you eat, you don't, you know, it's like...
You make a bracha?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you don't, you have a problem. But let's say you make a bracha. And if somebody would stop you, the truth is, ideally, every time a person eats, they should think and realize they're meeting for the sake of serving Hashem. Okay, let's get real. Okay? Yeah, granted, you're eating, and nobody says we should be on the level of eating rock-hard bread with a little water. You know, we're not on that level. But if a person, generally speaking, you ask a person, why are you living? The famous story, you know, why do you guy eat, the Jew eat, why are you living? And you can answer truthfully between you and Hashem. To serve Hashem, that's called eating, L'shem Shemayim.
Yeah, but while you're sitting and eating it, whatever it is, oh, this is so good. Oh, this is so good.
So?
So that's not, at that moment, it's not L'shem, it's not.
No, because if somebody would ask you, and why are you eating it, though?
Because it's good.
Then you have a problem, yeah. At least learn what to answer. Not what you mean. Learn what to answer, at least.
No, but so what do you do? Like, you see, there are some people, they don't cook in food at all. You know what I mean? It doesn't make a difference to them. There are some people...
So they have other temptations.
Okay, yeah, but it's like, you know, I mean, what do you do about it?
What do I do? What do I do about other people's problems? Let them worry about it.
What should one do?
They tell a story. There's a guy...
A guy couldn't
sleep. Listen to me. There's a guy who couldn't sleep in the middle of the night. The whole night he's pacing back and forth. It's 3:00 in the morning. His wife says to him, "What's wrong with you? Why can't you sleep?" He said, "Because I'm I owe this guy $10,000, and I don't have the money to pay him back." So his wife, she's a smart lady. She picks up the phone. She calls up the other guy that he owed the money to. 3:00 in the morning, and she says to him, "You know the money my husband owes you. He's not paying you back." And she hangs up the phone. Then she turns to her husband and says, "Now it's his problem. You go back to sleep." She says, "I don't have to worry about other people's problems. I got enough of my own."
It's very kind of you.
Thank you.
But listen, let's talk about advice. Really, you say a bracha. Most of us don't even think when we say the bracha. Let's get real also.
Is that good or bad?
Well, it's not good, obviously.
Okay, so why can't a person work on themselves to make a proper bracha?
Okay, so that's the first step. That's what you're saying.
Right.
That's practical advice. Thank you.
Thank you.
But isn't it not just food? It's everything. It's why you sleep. It's everything, isn't it?
Why you go to school, why you talk, why you have a job. Now,
teachers and they get a lot of personal gratification from it or something. It's already a twin of something in it.
So what? But that's not something. Therefore, you shouldn't teach. You know the Mittal Rebbe's answer. Atzilber. Okay.
No, but I'm talking about when they get something from it. It's everything that you do.
That's not what Dalt Rebbe is talking about over here. Dalt Rebbe is very clear. Dalt Rebbe is talking about, again, there's a difference if you eat to live. I mean, it's a very simple phrase, but this is the key over here. Does a person eat to live, or do they live to eat? The Alter Rebbe here is talking that if you eat to live, you elevate the food. If you live to eat, then you don't. It's very simple. You want to know to what extent are we on the level of the Rabbeim or Tzaddikim or great Chassidim that ate Mamush L'Shem Shemayim and that was it? No, we're not on that level. But in our level, we can handle the difference between eating to live and living to eat. And that's what he's talking about. For us, on a practical level, that's what he's talking about. That doesn't mean we shouldn't enjoy food, or we should dafke eat food that we don't enjoy. That's not what it's all about. Even though the Friedrich Rebbe said, that he was taught from the time he was a child, and parents should mention this in the chinuch classes, the Friedrich Rebbe said from the time he was a baby, he was taught, what's put on the table is what you eat. In other words, not to be a fussy eater, mafunik, but I don't like this, I don't like this, and then the house becomes a restaurant, and every person makes 30 different things, and you end up with one big messy kitchen. What?
The food that we put on the table, the covered Shabbos,
which gives us pleasure.
Right, but Shabbos.
When women, for instance, go out of their way to buy cakes, for instance, or to put out extra special meats or dessert,
no.
25 different kugels and all that kind of business, that's not to be.
Stick to the cakes and the other stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. You didn't need any of that to strengthen you physically.
Correct, but you're doing it to look covered Shabbos.
But it brings
you didn't do it on Sunday or Monday. Why did you do it on Shabbos? Because on Shabbos you're doing it for Shabbos. That's called Einik Shabbos. That's Well, if the person eats it like an ox, then he becomes an ox or a shtreimel or a black cat or a shaitel.
So the question is, for instance, what about like, where do you draw the limit, for instance? I'm just thinking philosophically. Is the food, is the meal itself, basa v'dagim, not enough? Is meat and fish not enough? So why do
but
we...
You don't sing zmiris, but you say basa v'dagim v'chol matamim.
Uh-huh.
Finish the sentence.
You're right.
Basa v'dagim v'chol matamim. Uh-huh. All delicacies. And I, you know, this is not Kabbalah over here. This is very simple. Okay? If a person overly indulged in eating, then they're lowering it into shochus or tomatoes. If they're eating it to be a Jew and to do what Hashem wants us to do, or because it's Shabbos or Yom Tif, or because we're eating to be healthy, then we elevate it to Kedusha. Let's not get nitty gritty of whether we enjoy the food or don't enjoy the fresh or not fresh. What we're talking is basically the concept of why we're eating. So he's saying, Klipas Nagan, like you said, it's not only eating and drinking. Why do we work? Are we work in order to make a living, to be able to live like a Jew? So then the work is becoming elevated to Kedusha, if it's kosher work. Because you can't do trade for business, and which let's say stealing, which is Shoshkim Satmeis, you can't steal and then serve Hashem with the money, because that money will never become elevated.
No, it's so interesting, and this is the example the author used, because a lot of people with mental health say that like food is like a from addiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for Jews, food is the best business.
Not only that, I mean, you know, we're so limited in so many things, people go a little bit nuts with the food.
Vices, you're talking about vices.
Yeah, vices.
So?
That's it.
Okay, good.
I can tell a story about it if you want.
No. Practical advice, no stories. So the Alter Rebbe, just to wrap it up over here, so the Alter Rebbe says like this, Klipas Noiga is good shining into the Klipa. Therefore, Avedas HaBirurim is to separate the Kedusha from the evil. So if you utilize this Klipas Noiga object, like the expression in Chassidus Shesfarim goes, the apple only stays Klipas Noiga until the Jew touches it. The second the Jew touches it, it either goes up or it goes down. It either goes to Kedusha, like an oil and a carbon, or it goes down into Shoshiyot Tzameis.
Before you even make a bracha, is that what you're saying?
No. Well, once you make a bracha, but it depends. If you make a bracha and eat it for total enjoyment, you elevate it a little and lower it a little. A lot.
Is that a concept of actual transformation from bad to good?
We'll see that on the next page. Next, stay tuned.